Okay, the topic of the, I'm adding in Carolyn, the topic of this workshop is keeping the lights on, daily maintenance. And I'm going to introduce our first speaker. It's Judd S. from Tulsa. So I never met this man before in my life. And when they asked me to speak along with him, we got, you know, our numbers exchanged. And since then, probably the last couple months now, huh, we've been doing our daily maintenance together, which is freaking awesome. And I get to finally meet face to face, put a face to a name. And here he is. Thank you.
Judd.
Did you hear that? Is this thing on?
Yeah.
All right. All right, name of Judd. J-U-double-D, that's me. Second D silent. Yeah, give me just a second. I want to make a conscious contact. And so I'm going to walk away from the noisemaker. I want to try to see your eyes.
For a second. Let me look up. Look at me. Look at me over here. Let me look in your eyes. Turn your phone off over there. I'm kidding. I want to look in your eyes.
Thank you so very much. I discovered my higher power in you guys in the group. And so, thank you so much, Carolyn, for shutting that door. I see you. I can see where you're going. See how connected we are? I only had to ask her once, and it was nonverbal. I'm super excited to be at Norman Winter Convention. This was where my life changed. This is where I got my first hope shot, was this convention in 2005. And, man, I think we had a main speaker that Saturday night that said, she told us all, hey, when you get it and you see me in the hallway, holler at me and let me know. Tell me you got it. And I had been sitting in a room clean and miserable for about, well, I've been sitting in a room for a couple of years. But I had only been clean and miserable for about a year, coming up on a year. So my life began to change, and it took a long time for some things to happen. I sit in the room at the back of the room for a while with a mean mug on my face and my arms crossed, and I had the same thing for every single one of you. Thank you, DOC, for sending me where I don't belong, because this ain't for me. And they had sent me for a couple of years before I actually stayed clean and the process began. The truth of the matter is, the process began when I was, before I had started junior high. I had a dream when I was young. I wanted to be a national athlete, man. So I wanted to stop. I tried to stop partying on Sunday night and be a kid and go to school with the rest of the kids. I didn't call it trying to get clean then, but I recognized right away that I couldn't stay clean for a day, not even one day, not one day. I had always been strung out. I'm pretty sure I detoxed the first day that I was on the planet. I had the best mama in the world, rest her saintly soul, gone 18 years this summer of an overdose. And amazing, I was 4 years clean the day she blazed into the hereafter, and I was the one that got clean. Anyway, so thank you, Chad, for inviting me to Norman Winter Convention. So it took a long time. It has taken decades to learn about daily maintenance. I thought I knew about daily maintenance. I could tell you, our favorite words. I know, I know, I know, I know. dude, you need to pray and meditate. I know. I'm doing it, you know. Dude, you need a new God. Look out. You're going to get struck by lightning, bruh, you know. And so it's been a process of, you're going to give me 5, right, Carolyn?
I'll give you a 3 minute.
Give me a 5.
I'll give you a 5.
Yeah. It took me a little while to figure out how to stop using. It took me a little bit longer how to figure out how to uncross my arms and to pull my finger down out of the air. It took me a little while to surrender to the disease and to this solution. It took me a little while to get to a second step where I literally came to believe in a power greater than myself. And that cat that had talked to me about a new God he gave me the idea that I was comfortable as long as I was in the room with us. You know, actually, I didn't have a driver's license, so the guys would pick me up, except for when my beautiful wife would take me to the meeting, because Your Honor had said, let me catch you driving again and see what happens. Anyways, yeah, and I couldn't argue with the fact that as soon as the guys picked me up, I was comfortable. And I was comfortable until we got done putting the meeting back up and driving back to wherever I was staying, because it wasn't our home. I had burned all of that up, of course. Anyway, so it took years to come to the realization. I mean, Will was just talking about the progression of, man, the light came on one day and it's like, hey, I just wake up in the morning and I dance this waltz, man. It's a step 1, 2, and 3. And look, it's a dance. I don't go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I figured it out. I want to stay clean. What are you doing? I ain't doing dope. And I'm still hanging on, you know. Then it was a few years later before I realized that, oh my God, look, the dance has changed, but really it stayed the same. And it's 10, 11, 12. And then it was another few years before I woke up one day and it was like, holy smokes, 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12. By then I had been gifted with the concept of recovery first. You know, hey, let's put recovery first. Sponsor was like, hey, we're going to start putting recovery first. I'm like, yeah, whatever. The steps, I know. You know, and he called me and said, I'm so pissed, you know, with the job done. And he said, let's put recovery first. What did you do for your recovery today? And I, that took years to start figuring out how to put recovery first. Put recovery first. Because nothing else matters. If my recovery is not intact, I don't have I don't have a wife, I don't have a life, there ain't no dang job, I ain't got no kids, no grandkids, I ain't got none of that stuff without recovery. And so, okay, recovery first. Hey, we're getting together, we're going to share that, we're going to talk about that 4-step, and we're going to do this 5th step. Okay, can we go get a burger first? Nope, we're going to put recovery first. But I'm hungry. Okay, fine, let's go, recovery first. Then I come across, it took years, you guys, and then it turned into, man, I've been clean a long time now, you know, long time. And got like 10 months clean. No, I wasn't, it was years before it dawned on me that my recovery had to be activated. I wake up in the morning still all this time later with, I call it the morning dreads. I'm uncomfortable. I'm suffering from symptoms of untreated drug addiction as soon as I open my eyes. As soon, before I realize that I'm conscious in the morning, I'm thinking, I'm still here. And it's, damn it! You know, I spent years waking up pissed off because I thought, that should have done it, man. I shouldn't have to be here another day, you know. And And I even had decided not to stay at times. But then years later, I found myself and I realized I was waking up and I was saying the same words, but they sounded different. I would wake up and say, oh, shit. I'm still here. All right. And I talked to my HP. Hey, you got anything for me today? That's what I thought. You know, and I would, and then here it comes. I learned how to activate my recovery. As I don't have to use to activate my illness. My illness is alive and well. It has manifested itself this very day in ways that have nothing to do with putting chemicals in my body or uncontrollable, but, you know, and it shows up insidiously in my ideas and my attitudes and all of those things. And so that's when I discovered, check it out. I've walked around for a few years saying, man, I read just for a day, almost every day. Well, I don't say that anymore because I started activating my recovery with just for today, every day. Today was returning our sponsor's kindness. That old goat, I tried to bring him with us. He don't like to be out after dark anymore. It talks about being kind and it wraps up with just for today. My sponsor has cared for me when I couldn't care for myself. Today I will do something nice for my sponsor. And oh my God, those relationships, I've had three sponsors in my tenure. And oh my God, each one precisely where they were needed at that time. But at the top of the page, it started off returning our sponsor's kindness, January 9th. Our earliest involvements with others often begin with our sponsor. This is Just for Today. Got a little wear on it, but this is a Just for Today book of Narcotics Anonymous. And if you didn't want me to read out of it, you shouldn't have sold it to me. But you know, how do you expect a recovery if you don't read the literature? Right? But I want you to look right here. Right here is the reference page. Where that come from? Comes from the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous, a book written by us for us. Mine, this one looks like this. This one's kind of going to fall apart on me too. But it comes from page 57. So if I go to the bottom of page 56 and I look at the last paragraph, it starts off, gradually we replace old habits with new ways of living. Oh my God, is that what we've been talking about for the last 5 minutes? We become willing to change. Holy crap, I'm going to pull my finger down and put my hands in my lap. That's just the first two sentences. This is today. I didn't go find this after Matt talked to me about maintenance to my recovery. That's not what happened. This is just today's literature. We go to meetings regularly, get and use telephone numbers, read literature, and most importantly, we don't use. We learn to share with others. We don't tell someone we are hurting. They will seldom see it. When we reach out for help, we can receive it. I don't have to do anything by myself, and I'm not reading both of those pages, Carolyn, because that wouldn't be fair. But so for the next several years, it was suggested to me by wise old wrinkly sponsor, hey, why don't you read the literature every day? And, you know, don't call me every day. I'm old. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. But I heard you guys telling me that for years before I realized, oh my God, there's a Just for Today page for every single day of the year. And for most of those pages, there is a reference to the basic text. Did I show you my basic text? It is. I could probably pull the cover out of there. It'll fall out if I use it. But you guys, that's where an addict like me has got to stay. Because I woke up bright and early this morning at 3:50 a.m. because that little dog by my beautiful wife flaps his head. And I was like, don't you shit in my house. I'm getting up. And rather than be able to go back to bed, I get to go meet Carolyn today. This is Norman Winter Convention, baby. Who hasn't ever been to a convention before? Is there anyone in the room? Oh my God, you guys, get ready. I want you to put your hands up in the air and do this right here. Come on, both hands. I want you to know that your lives are about to change. Stop. Just friggin' stop whatever your brain is telling you. All of these thoughts are unhelpful. Stop thinking. The only way we can use our mind is if we stop it from thinking. Because our thinking, it keeps us loaded. Our thinking makes us fatalities of stupidity. A fatality. My God, my brain is going to kill me. So, I started this morning at 4 a.m. I made a conscious contact. Much like I made with you in the beginning. I take a deep breath like that and I listen to the sound of the air because my mind's already going. My mind's already at 3:50. Oh my God, the dog flapped his ears. I gotta. Oh crap! I'm already thinking. My brain's already running. There's 150 miles an hour. And there's none of them usable. None of these thoughts are... Hell, some of these thoughts are 50 years old. Some of these thoughts are about some things that are, I fear might happen later today, but have never happened and probably will never happen. We've made that decision many times. But if I focus on the sound of my breath, and I do it loud like that so I can hear it. I hear it in through the nose, out through the mouth, and I listen to the sound of the breath. The thoughts have already begun to slow. Now they're going to keep going for a little while because they have momentum, because they're sick. You keep an eye on me, Carolyn.
I got you.
Okay. I know you do. So for meditation to be of any use, I have to quiet my mind. That's an... Man, 25 years ago, that would have been an impossibility. Don't even talk to me about that. That's like that new God stuff. Hey, shut up. You know, you see these marks? That was a Bible they beat me in the head with. Be careful about what you say about God. You know, he'll get you. And but if I don't manage my brain and those thoughts, then my mind will use me. And I won't be able to use my mind. When I'm trapped in the endless loops of my mind, I'm worthless. I'm worthless as a husband, a father, a grandfather. I'm worthless as any, because I can't use it. It's using me. It's using me up. Now, I started a four-step. Oh, I talked about coming to believe in a power greater than myself, and it's y'all. Y'all were the power that was lended to me so that I could stay clean, finally. And so that I could arrive somewhere that life could change, where change was possible. And what was I lying about, Candace? I was almost there. I stopped those thoughts. My mind is no longer using me. Now my meditation is becoming productive. And so, we started learning how to do inventory in a four-step. And then 10th step, we started learning how to do an inventory every day. And then we started inventorying, oh my God, and then we got obsessive. But now I'm inventorying all kinds of things. Where's my money going? My God, I started inventorying my money. Oh my God, I don't have a lot of that. So never did. But where's it all going? Turns out it was going to Quick Trip. And then I started inventorying. This, I put on 100 pounds. Where did this come from? Where did all this come from? It come from Quick Trip. Came from Quick Trip. That's where my money was going, was Quick Trip. And the way it was coming from Quick Trip, cappuccino. I learned how to stay out of the casino. And then I got cappuccino. And then don't run into... My wife is looking at me saying, don't you say it, but I got to tell you. If it's not the casino or cappuccino, it's the vagina that's jacking me all up. You hear me talking? Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Where is it all going? Where's my time going? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I get up in the morning and I got up 2 hours early and I'm late to work. Where did my time go? Quick Trip. Pulled in the parking lot and I was like, oh, my God, look at that Gator Bug over there. You know, you talk about some gratitude. Go to Quick Trip on cue down the street here and get yourself some gratitude. And, oh, yeah, that's why I don't want to get jacked up today. That's why I don't need a bump today. But then they started gaining some richness. My inventories, you know. I stopped drinking cappuccino and stopped eating and drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes like I was banging dope. And I stopped doing one thing after another very gradually that I was killing myself with, you know, that I was killing my marriage with, that I was killing my relationship with my children and my grandchildren with. So I found just for today in the basic text, and I live in the basic text, and dope fiend like me can stay clean if I keep it simple. You know, don't use, and I won't get loaded. Now let's inventory where my energy's going. Because I know I'm in my prime. It's obvious I'm in my prime. But I got all these miles on me, and so I run out of energy, man. You know, and it's like, where's all my energy going? And so I started inventorying, where is my energy going? My emotional energy, my physical energy, my spiritual energy. Where is it going? And I find myself a Quick Trip again. Now, I cut Quick Trip out few years ago, after 20 years of 9th step amends, I owed them a lot of gasoline. When they turned 23 pumps on in like the 80s, and it was like, they must have wanted me to take all that gas. But where's my energy going? And I put energy into the things that are important to me. I inventory and I identify where is my energy going that I don't want it to go. Oh, is it going to things that I have absolutely no... I don't have any influence over some things in this world. So why... Let me identify where I'm using this energy up. Do I have energy left over at the end of the day to be kind and loving to my beautiful wife and my family? No, I'm too tired. I'm so tired. Now, so where did that energy go? So I started categorizing the kinds of energy that I burn up. You know, and Facebook ain't one of them. Did you see what I posted on Facebook, Carolyn?
I don't have it on social media.
I don't have social media. See, you're learning something new about me every few minutes. I don't know. Is texting social media? No, it's not. No, I don't do social media. It's much easier to love you people if I don't see what your Facebook page has going on. Politics and religion and those sorts of things. I don't care who your God is or what you call him, what color they are or what, you know, I don't care. I don't really know anything about those things. And for me to burn energy up on those sorts of subjects is asinine, is absolutely ridiculous. So, man, it's been over two decades since I sat at this convention. It was this convention. Will G over here had a workshop, 6:30 in the morning workshop. And I think it was just me and you and some other weirdo that had been up all night long at the marathon meetings. Anyway, and here's Will sitting in here in the dark with a flute. And I'm like, oh my God, look at this place. And thank you. And he gave me something that day that changed my life. And he knows this story. I ain't pumping sunshine up his skirt. He knows this. It was a year later before the fruits of his workshop came to fruition. And I walked into a space and I looked around in this space, and my little wife's looking at me. She knows exactly where and when I'm talking about. And I said, man, there was this cat at that convention last year, and you know what? He was talking about a specific time and a specific place to make a conscious contact with the God of my understanding and to get quiet, to quiet my mind and my spirit. This is the place. I'd walk in and I'd found a place. It was a beautiful little east-facing window where the sun would come up through the trees, and there was wildlife moving around. Early morning has always been my thing. I was born and raised milking cows. Anybody know about that? You got to get up early in the morning to get the milk. But, yeah. And I made a conscious contact sitting in a quiet spot looking out that window. And I didn't even know who Will was until a year after that, probably. And the journey began that morning. So I started sitting in that place every morning, and every night, a lot of nights, and, you know, every day ended with why. It's taken quite a... Oh, my God. How patient do I got to be? Well, evidently more patient than you have been so far, because there's more, you know. And so, thank you so much again, Will. I thank him all the time. So I thought that recovery was not about not doing dope. Turns out it ain't got nothing to do with that, y'all. Turns out that recovery is about the restoration of my spirit. Turns out that every gruesome, gross experience of my life have become my greatest assets when it comes to helping another suffering person, not just addict. I don't help just addicts. I create a safe space for people to take a deep breath and arrive in a place that's safe for them, where they can consider what the truth is, so that they may too be able to get honest with themselves and begin this journey. I didn't start staying clean till I was 37, and I was late. I was late to my first meeting by 30 years. So I'm so grateful to have been here. I'm so grateful that you're here. You see me, you give me a hug, and you let me know that you got it too, and I promise you, recovery is worth it. And Norman Winter Convention will change your life. I'm just saying. Come on, man. I'm Judd. I'm an act named Judd. J-U-double-D. Second D silent. I ain't no damn Dixie chick. Hey, it's my great pleasure to introduce Carolyn. We met a month or two back, a couple months back, and we have become very close very quickly. We have many things in common, especially when it comes to coming to believe in a power greater than ourselves that could restore us to sanity and our absolute right to any understanding, without exception. And so grateful to have a new leader on my call list. Come on, Carolyn.
And Carolyn. I'm going to take this moment for a minute to say their serenity prayer to let my goddess come in so she can speak through me instead of ego speaking through me. So if you guys want to join. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you, Jed, for sharing. And thank you for the committee for asking me to speak. I'm grateful it's a Friday because there's like hardly anybody in here, so it's freaking amazing. Thumbs up on that, you know? Keeping the lights on, daily maintenance. You know, when I hear that, keeping the lights on, I think of Motel 6. But this is a different kind of Motel 6. It's not brown chicken cow, brown cow. So my clean date's 11/18/04. And I don't say that out of ego, I say that out of hope and inspiration that I'm part of the No Matter What Club. No matter what life hands me, no matter what life throws at me, I don't pick up any abuse. I get connected with my goddess, and I can get connected with her through daily maintenance. It hasn't been perfect the last 21 years. It's been a total freaking mess sometimes, and it's been beautiful as well. So I'm a Vegas hood rat. Right? Straight ghetto west side. Anyways, I was born and raised in Vegas and started using at 11 years old, so I started doing adult things at 11 years old. And so my daily maintenance was always finding ways and means to get more. I used to live and live to use, very simply, you know? And so when I got here, I didn't think this program was going to work. I wanted my children back. My children were placed in foster care back in St. George, Utah. That's where I got clean at. And I got nudged by the judge. I was sentenced to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. The best sentence ever. First time being arrested for drugs, paraphernalia, whatever you want to call it, you know. And I was nervous. I was scared, but I was also relieved when that happened. And so the judge told me I needed to get my little paper signed and all that good stuff, and I had to do 3 meetings a week and all these things. I got clean in the other fellowship because when I got clean, there weren't that much Narcotics Anonymous going on and what the Narcotics Anonymous there was going on. It was a very blurred message. And so I sat for like a year before this beautiful woman came in. She was a main speaker last year here. She came in and reorganized Narcotics Anonymous in the St. George area. And that's where I planted my seed, and I continue to grow my garden in Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And so daily maintenance. For me, my daily maintenance right now is I, too, get up the butt crack of dawn and get connected with my goddess. I do literature reading. I do meditations. I do all that kind of stuff. At first, I didn't do it perfectly. I couldn't even keep my head still, my thoughts trained or quiet enough to even sit in a moment, you know. Sometimes it was like 30 seconds at a time for me to just sit and still and be okay with myself. But you guys kept on telling me to keep coming back, and no matter what, things will change. And I had that hope and inspiration. You know, I'm going to try to do this without crying, because there's a lot of stuff that I'm going to divulge to you guys in the last 21 years, especially the last 7 years or 6 years that my life has been going on. And it's very emotional for me. So I got introduced to meditation very early in my recovery. And like I said, I can barely like keep my mind still and quiet enough to even sit with my creator. And I know for myself, like when I got here, I knew I needed a connection with something greater than myself, because my disease is very powerful. And I needed something very much, so much more powerful than my disease, that I needed to make sure that I was getting connected with that. And I was like a sponge. I was like taking everybody else's higher power and molding it into what I thought what my higher power was like, you know. And I believe, like, if you believed in something, I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. I want to believe in that. Because my thought of my conception of my spirituality and my belief system was screwed up. Like, it got very tainted in my disease. And so when I got here, my spirituality was just, I was afraid of it. I was afraid of it, but I didn't deny it, if that makes any sense. And so I didn't know what to believe at the time. And so I started taking on everybody else's stuff, you know, and I just knew, like, if I continued that connection with my creator on a regular basis, I didn't want to say daily, because at the time it wasn't daily, because a lot of times I was living in self-will, like crazy, you know, and so I did the best I could with what I had, the tools that I had at the time, you know. And they say that this program is progress rather than perfection, right? And so I believed that. I'm like, okay, so if I continue to get this connection, get this daily maintenance, go to meetings, read the literature, all these things, you know, something will change. Something will change inside me and calm the storm that was so crazy inside me. And it took me about 8 years before I came home to my spiritual belief. 8 years. And once I embraced her and her full potential and her full beauty and her full light and her full love, this is what you get. I love you too, Jess. This is what you get. You get peace and serenity. You get humbleness, and you get love, and you get light, you know. And I just didn't think that that was even possible. And so you guys told me to continue to keep coming back, and I did, you know. And something changed in me when I first got here. I didn't think this program was going to work for me, because I mean, I'm from Vegas. I started using it at 11 years old. I started living on the streets at 11 years old, and so my ego was like huge, you know. And I didn't know how you all were going to change this inside here. I didn't know how this program was going to change this, you know, change my body, change my mind, change my spirit. But it did. You know, they told me to get a sponsor, and I got a sponsor, you know. And my first sponsor, it's kind of crazy because I just talked to her, my very first sponsor, the other day, and she had relapsed, like, shortly after she started sponsoring me, you know. And it says, be careful, you never know, you might sponsor your sponsor, right? Well, she called me up the other day asking for some advice, which was freaking cool. I was able to give her the same advice that she gave me to early in my recovery. And so my sponsor that I have now, she lives out in Utah, you know, and she doesn't sugarcoat things, you know, and she's not Willy Wonka. She doesn't hold my hand. She doesn't coddle me. She doesn't check up on me. Carolyn, are you doing okay? You know, it talks about I'm responsible for my recovery in the literature, and it's so much so. It's like I get to have that ability to pick up that 10,000-pound phone and call her on a weekly basis and be very transparent with her. You know, and that's how I started gaining trust within the fellowship, is being transparent with my sponsor to the best of the ability that I could at the beginning of my recovery. Now I pick up the phone and I divulge everything to her, right? And so so I started working the steps, and something starts changing in me. Something beautiful started changing in me. I started seeing my full potential. I started seeing who I was, you know. Out there in active addiction, I had one goal and one goal only, and that goal was to be an old lady and smoke blunt, and that's it. There was no freaking be a doctor or no veterinarian or anything. My goals in life was just to be an old lady and smoke a blunt on my porch, whatever porch it was. I didn't care if it was just whatever porch, you know. You know, and it talks about lost dreams awaken here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous that our literature talks about, and it also talks about where it says rarely have we seen a person fail who's thoroughly followed our path. You know, and sometimes I didn't do it perfectly because I live in self-will. I'm a human being, right? And so I live in self-will sometimes, and sometimes I want what I want. I want it now. And it's not coming fast enough because, you know, daily maintenance sometimes slips away and ego starts getting in. And so I got divorced from my husband of 20 years, the father of all five of my kids. And I started acting out. This is in recovery. And I started acting out in behaviors that weren't conducive. I wasn't doing my daily maintenance. Spiritually, that was. I was going to meetings. I was checking the boxes. Just put it that way. I was checking the boxes. Check, went to the meeting. Check, did that service position. Check. Spiritually, I was not getting connected. I was not getting connected to her. And I started acting out in ways that weren't conducive. You know, I wasn't picking up and using, but I wasn't really honoring myself or my value. And eventually, you know, it says, you know, the pain is, you know, change happens when the pain is great, right? And so about a year of me just checking the boxes and not getting spiritually connected and not doing my daily maintenance spiritually, you know, it started, like, the pain started going, like, getting really bad. And, like, I would show up in the meetings, like this. Hi, I'm fine. Fucked up, insecure, neurotic, emotional. Hi, how you doing? And then I'd close the door and I'd be crying, doubled over, because I was in so much pain, spiritual pain that was. And even though I wasn't using, I still felt like I was using, if that makes any sense, because I wasn't doing the spiritual maintenance at all. And there's been a couple times, let me tell you, mind you, there's been a few times where I've lacked my spiritual connection, and I've gotten to that point where I was in that gift of desperation again, like it talks about in our literature. And so that was the first time. And I finally got out of ego and talked to my sponsor. And I'm like, hey, sponsor. I'm like, hey, this is what's going on with me. And she's like, why didn't you come to me? And I'm like, because you're not in a relationship, Marie. And she's like, Carolyn, I'm in a relationship with everybody. I'm in a relationship with you. I'm in a relationship with them. I'm in a relationship. I'm like, fuck you, Marie, and your relationships with everybody. <You know? laughs> And And that made sense. I'm like, oh. And she's like, you're being selfish and self-centered, Carolyn. I'm like, yes, I was. I'm sorry. She's like, don't say sorry. Anyways, and so that's when I really truly started being really transparent with her, with my life, was when she told me that. She's like, I'm in relationship with everybody, so why are you being selfish and self-centered? And that was her favorite thing to say to me. Why are you being so selfish and self-centered, Carolyn? Because my disease is selfish and self-centered, Marie. That's why. Now leave me alone. Kick rocks. And so that was the first time that I lacked my spiritual connection and my daily maintenance, you know. And then I started getting really connected again and really, really doing the spirituality thing, really getting connected with my goddess, doing literature, getting into literature, journaling, all those things, all the things that it talks about and how we get out of self with, right? And then in 2018, this man walked into my life, and he was super beautiful, easy on the eyes. He was a great dancer, as my friend would say. And I fell head over heels for this man, right? He's one of us. Little did I know. Well, the warning signs were there, the red flags, you know, the ones that, like the circus, hey, I'm here. Well, they turn pink, you know, when I seen them, I'm like, oh, they're pink, they're not red. And that was like 6 years of my life of losing self. I don't regret it. I don't regret being with this man. He taught me so much about my most inner self of really losing self to self, if that makes any sense. And so slowly but surely I was deteriorating inside. The spirituality started like chipping away, you know, and I started like not going to meetings. First, I stopped hanging out with people that I hung out with in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I was still going to meetings, but I stopped hanging around my people because I didn't want you guys to know what was going on with my life. I didn't want you guys to know or ask questions what was going on in the house. I didn't want to be honest with you guys because I knew, like, once you guys started asking me questions on why this or why that, you know, I cannot sit there and lie to you because I have this thing of recovery inside me, you know, and so I, instead of answering those questions, those ones questions, you know, and I would, like, I started stepping away, you know, and stopped hanging out with the peoples, you know, and then eventually I stopped being of service, and then I stopped going to meetings. My spiritual connection was very this much, little. There was using in my house. I could have easily used without anybody knowing, but I knew, like, my connection with my goddess, that's the only thing I would have to say that saved my butt, was because I have a connection, I have a strong connection with her. You know, I still did the maintenance, but not as much as I should have done. I did a bare minimum, but it was enough to help me stay clean. I was dying inside. I wasn't taking care of myself mentally and emotionally. It got me to the point where I was suicidal. In recovery, suicidal. We fought over a gun. It was loaded. Wasn't in my right mind. I slashed my wrist. I even yanked the car wheel, trying to commit suicide to end us all.
Love you, Carolyn. You have this much clean time, Caroline. Why are you acting like that? And that's what my head would say to me. You fucking know better, Caroline. You know better. You have all this recovery. You fucking know better. You know, and I didn't know better. I didn't know better at all. And it came to a point where I had to make a decision, You know, what that decision was to end that relationship, because it was slowly but surely killing me. It would have killed me if I would have continued in that relationship. Seriously, it would have. I wouldn't be sitting here today. I know that. I know that for a fact. So I ended that relationship when I moved here to Oklahoma, because I gave him one more chance. One more. And I ended that relationship, and I was in a deep depression after that, and I didn't know what to do. Well, I did know what to do, but I was denying what I needed to do, and so I sat in my house for like 6 months by myself, going to the other fellowship, because there was no Narcotics Anonymous there in Enid, Oklahoma, and so I sit in the other fellowship, and I'd be a total mess, and I'd come home and I'd just cry and I'd go to sleep and I'd be depressed, you know, and all my stuff would be like, my house was a freaking mess, you know, because I was in this state of mind and in my spirit. And one of those things, like, Carolyn, you need to get really connected with your goddess. You need to get connected really fast, because you're gonna fucking die if you don't. You're gonna just end your life, you know. And so I got connected again. And the last 2 years has been nothing but a freaking amazing journey. I'm right back where I was right before he walked in back into my life. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, I'm right back. I'm centered with her, you know. And I wake up every single morning like Judd does, and I breathe. And I sit and I listen, because she talks to me, you know. And I do my readings. I send out my readings to people. I do my meetings, the meetings that I go to, you know. I work the program in Narcotics Anonymous. I don't work Carolyn's program in Narcotics Anonymous, because Carolyn's program in Narcotics Anonymous is like getting out there and getting high or doing stupid shit. You know, and I journal, I talk to my sponsor, I do all those things. I do a reflection of at the end of the day to see if I, like, was even, especially, like, I don't go out and just, like, purposely go hurt people. Like, it's like I'm like, who can I hurt today? No, nobody. The only person that I want to hurt is, like, sometimes is myself, because I have that low self-worth shit that goes on inside my head, right? And so a lot of times I ask myself, like, was I nice to myself today? Those are my top questions. Am I nice to myself today? Did I say nice things to myself? Did I nurture self? Did I love self? You know, and a lot of times it's yes lately. You know, I choose self today because I know that I'm worth it. I know I'm worth this beautiful life that I get to live, you know. And I couldn't have done it without the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. I always say Narcotics Anonymous can live without Carolyn, but I cannot. It's obviously, I try to commit suicide in freaking recovery. Not just one time, but two times. I cannot live without Narcotics Anonymous. I need the spiritual principles in my daily life. I need to live, breathe, walk, talk, think, believe in Narcotics Anonymous, because I know what saves my life. I know what does. I know what works for me. And I can't tell you all what works for you, but for me, I know what works for me. And I cannot, I need the language of Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you for the Sister Fellowship in Enid for helping me in those dark times. But you know what? The rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is what saves my ass. You people saved my ass. The newcomer walking into the rooms, broken and beaten up, they saved my ass. The old timers that had laid the path before me saved my ass. The in-betweeners that sit in the rooms, save my ass. My sponsees, save my ass. My best friend saves my ass. And I couldn't have done it without you guys. Seriously. Daily maintenance for me is such a beautiful thing. I thought it was in a cult when I got here. I'm like, you guys are going to brainwash me. Watch. Well, you guys did brainwash me in a good way. I freaking love it, you know? I always tell, I say, like, I share in meetings, like, if I was like a little fairy, could you imagine me as a fairy?
Yes.
Fluttering around, right? Imagine me a fairy fluttering around with a bag of glitter of recovery that says recovery on it, right? And if I could sprinkle it on every addict that was still suffering out there to fill these seats up, I would do it in a heartbeat. But then I have my sponsor in my head, Carolyn, that's selfish and self-centered. They've got to walk their path and get in the pain enough to walk into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous to hear a message of Narcotics Anonymous, to work the program of Narcotics Anonymous, to get a sponsor of Narcotics Anonymous, to work the fucking steps of Narcotics Anonymous. Right? So we work the steps or we're going to fucking die. And that's all I have. Thank you.